The National Rifle League 22 July match this week on Mail Call Mondays. I'm John McQuay with 8541 Tactical, and this is Mail Call Mondays, the show that answers your questions about precision rifles, optics, and equipment. Welcome to another Mail Call Mondays, and this is the Voodoo Gunworks V22 sitting in front of me. So we are going to talk about the National Rifle League 22 match that was held locally here this last weekend on the 14th. And normally we hold our matches more towards the end of the month. Here at the Westside Sportsman's Club in Evansville, Indiana. But they bumped it up a couple of weeks this month because there is a larger match going on at the end of the month and a lot of guys were going to be out of town. So we ran a little bit earlier. That actually works really well for me because the weekend that our match would normally run, I will be in Washington at TriggerCon. So it worked out for the best all around. But this month, I did shoot the Voodoo Gunworks V22 again. I figure we have it in here for review. I might as well run it. And I don't want to bury the lead, but it did perform very, very well again. So we're going to go through and we're going to talk about each one of the different stages like we normally do. And this was the first match where they used the new barricades. So we had a tank trap for one stage and we had the sawhorses for another stage. The tank trap actually started out on the first stage, and the first stage is titled Tank Traps Because America. And of course, this being the July match, a lot of the stuff is Independence Day themed. Now, the tank trap, I threw a picture of it previously, and I'll throw a picture up of the tank trap that we used. This one was a pre-made metal bracket type tank trap, which makes it easy to put up and break down. But if you don't utilize a bracket like those that can be purchased through Big Dog Steel, you can just use long carriage bolts and bolt through the tank traps, and that makes it easy to break down and throw in the car. And it's fairly low cost when you do it that way with just carriage bolts and 4x4s. For this stage, the time, and again, time for all of the stages through this month's course of fire are 2 minutes, so 120 seconds. The range was 50 yards, and on this we had three different targets. We had a 1-inch target, which was for 10 points, a 2-inch target for 7 points, and a 3-inch target, which was worth 5 points. Equipment that you could use would be one bag that's the size of a volleyball or smaller. And for this, I did shoot a Reaser Precision Game Changer that I borrowed off of one of the other guys. For some reason, I've gone this deep enough in precision rifle shooting that I have not yet got a Game Changer. That will be changing very soon, I believe. But for this type of stage, a Game Changer bag is a really, really great option. The nice thing about the Game Changer is it will form to a lot of different barricades, and because of the way the two lobes on the Game Changer work, they basically, when you set the rifle on top of it, they push down and they create angles that help support the rifle. So it works very, very well, and it's a whole lot easier than trying to balance a flat bag or a flat forend on an uneasy surface or an uneven surface. Now, the start position for this stage was with the rifle resting on the center of the tank trap, magazine in or loaded, and the action open. So I started out with the bag, the Game Changer bag, in the apex of the tank trap, the rifle on top of it, magazine in, and bolt up and back. On the start signal, shooter will announce which target they're going to shoot at, take a position on the center of the trap, and engage the designated target with two shots. Shooter will repeat this process from the top of the three legs of the tank trap and finish in the center of the tank trap. Shooter may change targets at any time, but must announce the change first. Now, there is a little bit of strategy on this. You have three different options on target sizes, all at the same range to engage. So you make sure you have your dope dialed in, ready to go. This rifle is zeroed at 50 yards, so I just run the zero on the turrets. And as soon as I got the rifle in position and took an exciting picture before the stage started, I could see that my wobble area was very, very small in the center of the tank trap. So I decided, okay, there's no reason not to go for the smallest target, the 1-inch target. With the rifle being as stable as it was, I was sure I could get a hit on that target. Now, when you move to the different targets, when I move up to the shooting positions on the top of the tank trap, I wasn't so sure how stable I would be. So you get down really quickly, you get your position, and you watch that wobble area on the target. And in this case, the wobble area was still well within that 1-inch target, so I was able to engage that target. And as I moved to each one of the positions, that Game Changer bag gave me enough stability that I was able to stay on that 1-inch target. So I went through, moved to each one of the positions, and you could really move in whatever order you wanted to. I just move in a logical order around the way and then drop back down to the center. And I was able to stay on that 1-inch target through each one of the shots and managed to actually clean the stage with 100 points. Again, the Game Changer bag made it really easy to form to the top of the tank trap, even though those things were cut uneven. It would grip the top and give you a flat spot to sit the rifle on. And then the trick here was I tried to get that bag as far back on the center of gravity of the rifle as possible, and then very gingerly balance the rifle on here, and I really wasn't putting a lot of pressure on the buttstock. It wasn't quite free recoil, but very little pressure to stabilize it, and I was able to keep the wobble area very small, keep the rifle very very stable, and get those hits. I really did not expect to be able to clean that stage. I thought it was going to be much more unstable, and I thought I was going to have to shift to some of the larger targets, but it was 10 shots overall, 10 round round count. And so to clean it, you had to stay on that 1-inch target through the whole thing. But again, there is strategy. If you saw you were wobbling off of that 1-inch target, then instead of take a miss and be 10 points down, it would be better even if you had to shift to the 3-inch target to take 5 points instead of to take a zero for that shot. So make sure you're watching that, and you had 120 seconds. It was tons and tons of time to get stable, watch your position. There were a couple of times where I was getting ready to break the shot and just took that extra second to stop, restabilize, take an extra breath, and then break the shot. So don't feel rushed on these. 2 minutes for 10 shots is really a ton of time. Most guys did fairly well on this stage. Again, if you use something like a Game Changer, you were good to go. If you just tried to balance the bare forend on the tank trap, you probably were not going to do as well, especially when you got up onto the top of the tank trap, not down in the tripod. So that was the first stage. Second stage was titled Baseball, Hot Dogs, Apple Pie, and NRL 22. So, of course, all things that are American. Again, time limit, 120 seconds, 10-round round count. For this one, this was the Sawhorse Barricade stage. And with the folding sawhorses that we're using, you have two levels. You have the top across the top of the sawhorse, and then you have like a shelf halfway down on the sawhorse. For this stage, you shot off both the top and the shelf. The start position was the rifle resting on the top of the sawhorse, magazine in and loaded, action open. Upon start signal, the shooter will engage the target with one shot each in the following order: 50 yards, 75 yards, 100 yards, 75 yards, then 50 yards. And the target sizes were: the 50-yard target is a 1.5-inch target, the 75-yard target was a 3-inch target, and the 100-yard target was a 4-inch target. The shooter will then move to the bottom of the sawhorse and engage the targets in the same order. So you're shooting close to far, then back to close, change position, close to far, and then back. 10 rounds, 120 second time limit, so plenty of time, but you didn't want to waste time changing positions. When you fired that fifth shot, you needed to be moving to get to the next position to get nice and stable. Again, Equipment allowed is one bag, size of a volleyball or smaller. And again, this one, I borrowed a Game Changer. Worked great because I knew the Game Changer was going to be the appropriate bag for the top. And there was some discussion on how to set it up for the bottom. And this is one where I initially had an idea of how I wanted to do it. I changed the idea, and what I changed to was not the best option. If I had to go back and shoot this again, I would do it differently. On the top of the barricade, the Game Changer is pretty much self-explanatory. There are two triangle lobes. One goes on the front, one goes on the back, and that leaves you a nice flat platform to set the rifle on the top of the sawhorse. What got creative was the way the guys did the Game Changer on the bottom. Now, since you were limited to one bag, then you needed to run the Game Changer for both stages, or you had to go try to go without a bag on the bottom stage, which was not the best thing to do. Initially, I was going to run the Game Changer with either the tall side up or tall side down. So either I was going to just take it off the top and set it down on the bottom and still have that horizontal spot up and the two points of the Game Changer on the shelf, or I was going to flip it upside down and run the rifle across the points of the Game Changer. This would have given me a good deal of height. I would have had a higher position, which would have left me in a mid-level kneeling position behind the rifle. But at the last minute, I was discussing with another shooter and decided to try to put the Game Changer on its side, which will allow me to have more of a cradle and the rifle will sit lower in it. This gave me a lower shooting position at the back of the rifle, but in this case, what it did is it ended up causing the magazine to interfere with the shelf. If I got the rifle far enough forward to where I was comfortable, I actually hooked the magazine on the edge of the shelf, and there was one point where it popped off the edge and dropped down, and it really jacked up my position a little bit. So I cleaned it across the top. I came down to the bottom, and as I was shooting across the bottom, I dropped two targets on the bottom. So I came away from that with 80 points overall, two misses, and I wasn't real happy with it. I came off, looked at it, and said, that was just totally a bad position. I could have fixed that. I could have flipped the bag and then drove on. Again, 2 minutes, so you do have time to analyze and fix things if you need to. Try not to push a bad situation and make a bad situation work. So again, learn something there. If I have to go shoot that barricade in that same manner next time, then I'm going to change the orientation of the bag. I need to get out. I actually have one of these exact sawhorses running around here in the studio somewhere. So I'm going to take that out to the range and do some practice off of it and see if I can fix that position. So, again, a really great use of the sawhorse, a really great use of a piece of equipment that you can very easily throw in the back of even a compact car, take it to the range, get some use out of it, and get a good deal of practice off of it. The next stage was, they may take our points, but they'll never take our freedom. 120 seconds, 10-round round count. And this one had targets at 50 yards with 1 inch, 0.75 inch, 0.5 inch, and 0.25 inch targets on the KYL rack. And then you also had a 1.5 inch target on a double hanger. So starting position is prone behind the rifle, magazine in or loaded, and action open. On the start signal, shooter will engage targets from big to small to accumulate points. The shooter must hit to advance. If at any time the shooter misses, they will lose all accumulated points and must start over. Shooter may stop at any time and keep the score they have. So this was a KYL stage, and this is a standard type KYL stage. So if you miss, you lose, and you have to start over. This is interesting, though, the way that they set this up, because it only took 5 shots to get the maximum amount of points. So you couldn't get more than 100 points. So while it took you 5 shots to clean the rack, you couldn't stay on the small one for more points because the max was 100 points. So there was, again, a little bit of strategy here. You actually had enough rounds to shoot the rack from largest to smallest twice. So what this allowed you to do is you could shoot through the first time, and say you got through and you hit the first, second, third, and fourth target, but you missed the last one and zeroed out. Well, now you have the option to start again, and you knew you hit all except for that last one, so you could hit 1, 2, 3, 4 and stop. Keep the one round, and then get the maximum amount of points that you're able to shoot. So it did give you a couple of options. Of course, there were guys that started off and they missed the first one, and so that kind of throws a wrench in it. Or if you go through and you shoot 2, 3, 4 and then miss. So you had to keep track and you had to feel your comfort level. Now, again, 2 minutes, tons of time for 10 shots. I concentrated on getting a nice, stable, prone position. I concentrated on my pre-shot checklist for each and every shot. So built my position, natural point of aim, breathe in, breathe out, squeeze the trigger, shot breaks, follow through. I see the target moving. I know I hit it. Move on to the next one. Rebuild that natural point of aim. And so on and so forth. And I just went through and I took my time and I had confidence in my rifle and I cleaned the stage. And I tell you what, when you are looking at that last guy, that 0.25 on the KYL rack, and again, this was at 50 yards, 0.25 at 50 yards, you're looking at it and you're really questioning if you're going to break it. And if you do everything perfect, then you get it. If you don't, not so much, and there were a lot of zeros on this stage. So you wanted to take your time, you wanted to go through, and you needed to be aware of what your rifle and what your skill level was able to do. We had guys that would go through it, and they would go, you know, 1, 2, and miss 3, 1, 2, and miss 3, and we tell them, look, shoot 1, 2, and stop. Because walking away with, you know, if you hit 1, 2, and stopped, then that would have been 25 points. Walking away with 25 out of 100 or a 0 out of 100, that should be an easy choice. So if you're getting hung up on it, then shoot what you knew you could hit, shoot the meatballs, and then stop. Again, a really fun stage. I like traditional KYLs, and this one did throw a little bit of a curve in on it. So you really had to control yourself and you really had to try to pick where your limit was. And because they used 5 rounds to clean it instead of having to use all 10 rounds to clean it, that really allowed you to go through and feel out where your limit was the first time and then run and stop just short of your limit the second time. So if you really thought about it and used some strategy, then it was a ton of fun. And our next stage is Suns Out, Guns Out, and this is the paper stage. And the guys were actually joking with me out at this match because I really dislike paper stages. Didn't do too terrible on this one, but I still really dislike paper stages. But sometimes paper stages are needed to help break up the field a little bit more, to help break out the or act as a tiebreaker sometimes, because you can get more granular on the points on a paper stage, meaning that instead of having increments of 10 or increments of 5, you can actually get down into 2s and so forth with this stage. So you can break them apart, and sometimes first and second place is only separated by 2 points. So paper stages are kind of necessary. Again, this time we were able to run 2 shooters at a time. We ran 2 different shooting positions, so we went through it pretty quick. Guys have gotten a whole lot more comfortable, I think, with getting down, getting their target found, and we didn't have really any problems with cross-shooting or shooters shooting on someone else's target. So it worked really, really well. This was, again, 2 minutes. It was at 50 yards, and we were shooting these 1.5-inch sun targets here. Again, the size is pretty much standard. They just kind of change up the image that is on them. 10 points for the center ring, 7 points for the next larger ring, or 5 points for the outer ring. So you could separate things pretty easily. This was shot from prone, and you have one bag that's approximately the size of a volleyball or smaller. Start position is prone behind the rifle, magazine in or loaded, and action open. On the start signal, shooter will engage the 1.5 inch 50 yard paper target with two rounds from strong side. So you shoot two rounds on the top. Then the shooter will transition to weak side. Weak side eye, shoulder, and trigger finger. So none of this just switching shoulders. You had to switch everything over. And engage the next 1.5 inch target with two rounds. Shooter will then transition back to strong side and engage the next 1.5 inch target with two rounds. And then shooter will switch back to weak side and continue until you have shot all your targets. Again, a 2 minute time limit, so no big deal. And this is one of those where, again, economy of motion is important. We've shot these enough that I just kind of have a rhythm where I switch over. Now, usually I shoot these with the semi-automatic rifle, which makes it a whole lot easier to switch sides because I'm not running the bolt. Running the bolt really added a little bit. And this doesn't say anything about having to have the bolt up and back on switching sides. The gun is still in place, the muzzle is still oriented downrange, so it is fairly easy just to safe your rifle, switch sides with a round in the chamber. So for me, I would run the bolt with my strong side before I'd switch over, and that would save me a little bit of time versus running my bolt with my support side or switching hands, or actually when I was shooting support side, it was still running my bolt strong side, but I had to remove my hand from the bag, run the bolt, and then put my hand back on the bag. So it's just about finding what works for you, what feels smooth, and quickly going back and forth. And because we're not transitioning between targets, your paper target was in one spot and you were just switching which your aiming point on that target was, it's best to get a solid position on the rifle, and then when you switch sides, take your body off the rifle, switch shoulders, and then come back into the rifle without disturbing the rifle itself. And that allowed you to stay on a higher magnification on the scope and allowed you to get back on target and get back into that firing cycle without having to move around and change your position and change your bag elevation and all that. So again, just switching back and forth. This was actually my target from it. This time I thought ahead of time and pulled the target off so you guys can see. And I wanted to show you this to show you that this is a really, really spot on rifle. I had some problems last month with a strange elevation change. I really didn't have that this month. And I did make a turret adjustment right before we started the match, and I was still about a half mil off, or I'm sorry, half of a tenth off to almost a full tenth off. So as I went through here, I realized I needed to hold to the low end of the circle to get my shots down in here. And I started on this one, I got down a little bit low, but I still cut the center. But you notice most of these, I'm right in there. A couple of them, I got a little bit excited and started off quick, but then I realized I had plenty of time left, slowed down, and started center punching them. So I'm getting a little bit better at the paper stages. I don't know what it is, if it's an intimidation factor or what, or if it's I spend too much time trying to grade my shots on the paper, but I'm getting a lot better with these paper stages. And it may be just because I'm going out when I'm training and I'm shooting paper more, shooting more dot drills. But steel is still far, far more fun. Shooting those little flippers on the KYL rack and watching them spin versus just watching a hole appear in paper, I much prefer shooting the steel. But after it was all said and done and the points were totaled up, I ended up with 94 points on this stage out of a possible 100. And our last stage was the Patriotic Positional. And this one I really, really goofed up on. This was a planning issue for me. Again, the one dig that I have on the Voodoo right now is there is no rear sling mounting point on this stock. To make this an absolutely awesome NRL 22 rifle, there needs to be one change to this setup. I need flush cups on the front and the rear on either side. If I have flush cups front and rear on either side, or even I could even make do with just one flush cup underneath on the bottom here, that would allow me to attach a hasty sling or allow me to use the front sling or the front flush cup in the rail and use a loop sling. I still don't really like that. I would rather have them up here on both sides because that gives me a better angle from the front of the rifle back. The flush cup in the rail is right here where my finger is at, and I think that's a little bit too far back for a loop sling. I may end up just flipping this rail and running a sling off a front mounting point later on. If I still have this for the next match, then I may end up doing that. But if I was going to order this guy, then I would go ahead and get flush cups or other sling mounting points front and rear, and that would be great. Now, I still could have run a sling. I ran a sling last match, but for whatever reason, I hadn't read the course of fire. I didn't bring my sling because it was attached to the 1022 that was in the safe. I didn't take it out this time. So I was slingless, and I thought, I've shot offhand without a sling before. I'll just do this. And then I got out there, got the rifle up, and looked at this 50-yard target and just realized that was not a good choice. So patriotic positional, the targets were a 2.5 inch and 6 inch hanging target on a double hanger at 50 yards. We had 10 rounds to shoot. The equipment was sling only, which should be a clue. The starting position is standing position, magazine in or loaded, and action open. On the start signal, shooter will engage the 6 inch target with two rounds from standing. Then the shooter will engage the 2.5 inch target from kneeling with 3 rounds. Then the shooter will again engage the 6 inch target from standing with 2 rounds. And finally, the shooter will engage the 2.5 inch target from a kneeling position with 3 rounds. So 2 rounds standing, drop to a kneeling, 3 rounds on the smaller target from kneeling, stand back up, 2 rounds larger target from standing, drop back down, 3 rounds from kneeling, and you're done. I came away from this with 20 points, and those were all from the kneeling position. I didn't get any from standing. When I got up and got the rifle in, I am so used to pulling that arm back in, tightening that sling down, and locking the rifle in that I just felt crazy uncomfortable and really wobbly from the standing position offhand with no sling. I cannot stress the importance of a sling. Even just a regular web sling that you can get from an army surplus store, they are cheap as can be, but I shot M16s at 500 yards prone with a loop sling. Shot them at 300 yards slung with a loop sling, just a regular web sling. If you find a Marine, they can show you how to take just a regular cotton web sling or nylon web sling and turn it in to a hasty loop sling. And they work absolutely great. I would have run this with my sling, which is either, it can be used as a hasty sling or it can be used as a loop sling. But I didn't bring it, and it cost me dearly. I honestly thought that that had cost me enough points that it was going to cost me the match. So thankfully, that was not the case. When we totaled it up, I just squeaked it out and managed a first place finish by just a tiny little bit. So a large percentage of that is having a rifle that I now have a good feel for. The last time I shot it was the first match that I had ever shot the rifle, and it was actually the first time I had shot the rifle. And managed to squeak out a first place finish there. Now that I am more comfortable on the rifle, I've taken it out for a couple of range sessions. I know what the Voodoo is capable of. It gives me a ton more confidence in the system, and I know I can rely on it. It was utterly, utterly reliable. I had no malfunctions, no misfeeds, nothing. So that I can give it a 2 thumbs up right off the bat. The fact that I had no frustration with the system at all. It worked exactly like I expected it to. So again, overall, the Voodoo performed fantastically. The Vortex Razor Gen 2 performed very, very well. And they gave me the confidence to really go for that last little bit of points on this match. So now I just need to tighten the shooter up a little bit more, and I'll be able to pick up a couple of those misses that I had this last month. So that's it for the National Rifle League 22 match here in Evansville, Indiana at the Westside Sportsman's Club. If you guys have any questions or comments over the equipment that I shot or any of the stages or anything else we've discussed on Mail Call Mondays, leave them in the comments section down below or send them to us on Facebook or Twitter. If you like the episode, please make sure you like, share, and subscribe. And until next time, get out and shoot.